the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, today is a good day to pray for your priests and for all priests, as it is the patron saint of priests who are occupied in the care of souls, the patron saint of parish priests, Saint Jean-Marie Vianney. He was, for the 19th century, probably what Padre Pio was in the 20th century. That is to say, a saint priest who was renowned for his ability to read souls and the wonder of the counsel, the advice he gave in the confessional. And because of that, pilgrims came from all over the world, finally, before his death, and kept him hearing confessions for as many as 17 hours a day. But really, the Curia of ours is the same for all of us in the way of practicing sanctity by a very practical, down-to-earth, common-sense kind of holiness. He would be the last one in the world to want to hold out anything in his doctrine or spiritual approach that was not common or available to everybody. He was, as I say, full of common sense. He talked about prayer just being talking to the good God, telling him about what's going on in our lives, and asking our Lord for what we need. Prayer, too, is just making ourselves available to God, that God will hold us in our face in his hands, as a mother would hold a little child, cover the baby's face with kisses. Little common daily life expressions whereby he made us to understand, and does still today from heaven, how easy it is, really, to become a saint. But it is not easy to make others become a saint. He realized early on that he would have to become a saint himself if he was going to convert his parish. His path to the priesthood was a very difficult one. He was born just before the French Revolution. And then because of the upset in society, as I mentioned on Sunday, when he was a boy, there was no church to go to because the church was in the hands of what's called the constitutional priests, priests who had sworn allegiance to the new false religion of the revolution. And even though they had the Latin mass, they wouldn't go. Parents stayed home, and a great danger to himself, a priest would travel from time to time and say mass for them in their home, where the Curia of ours made his first communion very devoutly at the age of 13. He was often working as a shepherd for his father's big farm. There he had occasion to be able to pray quietly, especially to our Blessed Mother. And he developed a love for solitude that he had his whole life long. He wanted to be a monk, really, but his people would never let him leave his parish. It was God's will for him to be a parish priest. But as I say, the road there was very difficult. He went to study with a local priest for a while. That was the custom of the day. But he couldn't learn Latin. Nevertheless, he was inscribed as a seminarian, but through a clerical bureaucratic mix-up, he was drafted into Napoleon's army. Then he was going to go, but then he was sick, so he missed the departure date. Then he was put down as a deserter, and he had actually hide for a couple of years. His father bitterly blamed him for all the trouble he brought upon himself and his family during the whole of this incident. When he finally got to the seminary in Lyon, he absolutely could not learn Latin, and therefore he had a hard time with the theology, because all of the textbooks were in Latin as well. And also the philosophy of that day was a very bad Cartesian philosophy, and not that of the church, the philosophy of Thomas Aquinas, of Scholasticism. And that posed another difficulty for him. But never mind, he was a saint. He was meant to become a priest. He was finally ordained, and after 3 years as an assistant, he was given his own very small little church in the village of Ars, which was a forgotten, poor place where the people had forgotten about God. But by his prayer, he would pray much of the night and compose his sermons on his knees, looking at the tabernacle. You could still see the place in Ars where the sacristy was, and how he would put his notes on the sacristy cabinet and write, but with the door open, into the sanctuary, looking at our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. By his acts of severe penance and his prayer, he was able to convert his people. It was a lifelong struggle. Who about 25 years to get the people away from lewd and dancing, to get the women to dress modestly. One must never be discouraged of those things. But right away, he started to promote devotions. He brought pilgrims to his church through his devotion to Saint Philomena, a saint who had just recently been discovered, who was his little pet saint, he used to call her. And all the miracles that he probably worked in humility, he always ascribed to Saint Philomena. Never content just with his own parish, he organized and took part in about 100 parish missions in the whole area so as to help others in other parishes to be able to save their souls. This week, remember, please pray for our priests in Mexico who are preaching a very important parish mission. Our prayers make such a difference for the success of such a venture. The devil didn't like him. The devil would often visit him at night, fight with him, argue with him, torture him even, try to kill him by setting his bed on fire. He finally called the devil his pal, his friend, because he would show up so often. He would spend so much time with him. And the devil admitted if there were one or two more like him, one or two more priests like him, he would have lost his battle to control the world. Very, very great saint, a very humble man, full of great wisdom and common sense. Today is a good feast day on which to resolve to pray every day for our priests and to resolve to practice the little common sense ways of sanctity. It's not a difficult or rarefied thing. It's just using the training that we received as children and putting it into practice today. Combining that love of prayer and devotion with the hatred of sin, with the frequenting of the sacraments, these things added up together equal sanctity.